Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Rachel Iacovone. A new University of Florida study suggests that we could see even more felled trees the next time a hurricane makes landfall in the state. Not because of the rise of superstorms or stronger wind conditions, but because of termites. That's right, the tiny wood-boring insects could be the reason why many more trees fall over. I'm joined now by Dr. Thomas Chavang. He's the UF IFAS Assistant Professor of Urban Entomology. Dr. Chavang, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We are talking about termites in South Florida. As always, you're invited to join the conversation. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Dr. Chavang, you chose a specific species of termite to research, the Asian subterranean termite. So why these guys?
This termite is relatively new to South Florida. It was actually introduced, we think, in the late 90s in South Florida, and since has spread to many parts of Miami-Dade, Broward County, and also Palm Beach County, and also in the Lower Keys. And it has caused a lot of damage to structures and also to a lot of trees. This termite species is very similar to the Formosan subterranean termite, which is infamous for doing a lot of damage, except that this one is a truly tropical termite, so it's only restricted to the southern part of the state, really. But it is a very damaging termite, too.
So given their name, I'm going to assume they're from Asia. Where exactly are they from?
The Asian sub is, we think, is from the Singapore area and has spread through, actually almost throughout the world, in the tropical parts of the world. It's throughout the Caribbean now, and it is a big problem also down there.
So how does this species compare to the termites that are native to Florida?
They tend to do much larger colonies over time, and therefore it's more mouth to feed, and therefore it's more damage that it can do to wood structures and also to live trees. The genus Cryptotermes, from where it's from, is known to pipe trees and usually hollow out the center of a tree, live trees, and it can basically weaken the structure of a tree over time. And they can do this kind of damage relatively quick within a few years, compared to some of our native termites who may take like decades to do this kind of damage. So it's much more damage, much faster, and some of this tree can basically be weakened. And it seems that the tree doesn't have much issue when you look at it superficially, but eventually there's a big storm coming up. The branch can basically break apart, or the trunk itself can break apart because the structural integrity has been compromised, and this tree then can fall, basically.
And you've described it before as kind of like a girdle on the pine trees that kills them?
Yeah, so one of the things, there's two things we have to take into account here. For the Formosan and the Asian subs, they both can basically pipe trees and weaken the tree over time, like for oak trees and many of the hardwood trees. For the slash pines that we have there in Southeast Florida, they cannot eat the inside of a tree because it's too hard. It's known also as a lighter wood. It's extremely sappy and hard, and the termites themselves cannot even chew on that. So what they do, in the case of the Asian subs in slash pine trees, they're restricted on the outer part of a tree, and therefore they're eating just underneath the bark, right next to the light tissue of a tree. And over time, it basically girdles this tree and essentially kills them, we think. So while these pine trees may not collapse because of a hurricane, they may die relatively quick because of termite damage. For oak trees, it's going to be the opposite. They don't seem to be much impacted because only the dead part of a tree inside a tree is eaten, and the tree doesn't really care. But then when a storm comes, eventually these trees are susceptible to collapse.
So how much of the Florida tree population is already infested by these?
That's a very good question. And the first thing we have to keep in mind is these two termite species are invasive and tend to be associated with human activities. So it's going to be mostly found in urban areas where you're going to have houses and you're going to have an urban canopy. So it's going to be mostly found in urban centers and urban canopy of these centers. So we know that the Asian strand termite is mostly on the east coast from Riviera Beach all the way to Key West. And we know some areas where it's been established for a couple of decades, we do have a lot of infestation. It becomes problematic. It gives you an idea where potentially this termite can be established and cause damage to trees. We do actually have a map online. You can actually see where all of these termites have been detected, so you know if you are in an area where you can potentially be at risk if these termites have been established in there, in this area.
And we've actually included a link in our web copy. So if you go to golfcoastlive.org, you can see the map that you're talking about right now. And as I'm looking at it, you can see how north you're saying they get into the panhandle, the Formosan specifically, though. Mm-hmm. Do you think it'll spread to other states, at least for that species?
Well, Formosans are actually now established all the way from Miami-Dade all the way to North Carolina and all throughout the Gulf Coast to Texas. So Formosans already are pretty much established throughout the southeastern United States. So it's not just a Florida issue. And actually, Louisiana, who has already for a long time a big problem with Formosans, already seen a lot of issues during Wilma where many of the trees collapsed because they were mostly eaten by Formosans. Here in Florida, we both have a Formosan that do hollow out some of the trees and make them susceptible to collapse because of the storm. And in addition now, at least for the southeastern part of the state, we have Asian serpent termite that also double down on that issue.
We are quickly heading into hurricane season, so we are talking about the effects of termites on Florida trees with UF IFAS Assistant Professor of Urban Entomology, Dr. Thomas Shavank. You can join the conversation, too. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Dr. Shavank, I want to ask you, is there any way to actually reverse an infestation? You know, we talk about some of the treatments, but can you reverse what's actually happened already, the damage?
Well, once damage is done to a tree or to a structure, I mean, for a tree, unfortunately, there's very little we can do. Is at least if we can stop the damage from happening, it would basically, in the long term, save a tree in many respects. For structures, eventually, once you have to first get rid of termites and then replace the damaged wood. So reversing is not really practical. There's currently two major ways we deal with subterranean termites. Primarily, we can use liquid termiticide. Basically, we pump liquid termiticide around the structure or around a tree, basically to prevent access of a termite to the structure or to the tree. It's a toxic barrier that prevents them from getting further. Alternatively, and we've been looking into this, is the use of termite baits, which actually use an active ingredient that do not kill the termites right away, but it gives it time to feed on the bait and bring it back to the rest of the colony, and which over time result in colony elimination. Basically, here we don't just prevent the termite access, we actually eliminate every single colony that are within the area. So if we can reduce the pressure from a termite by eliminating the colonies, we prevent damage in the first place, and therefore we prevent sustained damage to trees and to structures.
So termites are actually in the cockroach order of the animal kingdom, but kind of what you're saying right now, and maybe the way they look always reminds me of ants a bit. So do they leave a similar trail behind them? So when they're out scouting the next tree to hit, even if someone steps on it, is its friends far behind?
Yeah, we compare a lot termites to ants. Some people call it the white ants because they're a social insect, just like ants would be, and they don't have wings for the workers. But for subterranean termites like Formosan and Asian subs, they tend to be underground in galleries. So they do use chemicals eventually to know where they are and where they're going. But they're pretty much in the self-contained network of galleries in the ground connecting foraging sites like your house or a tree and the central part of a nest where the king and queen and the brood is going to be located. So it's a kind of a complex system when you think about it, and having access to all individuals is extremely difficult. And this is why we promote the use of baits, because only a small part of a population that can forage and feed on the bait can acquire enough of a toxic to bring it back to the central nest and spread it to every single individual, resulting in the death of all the termites within the colony, despite the long distance that the colony can be feeding, which can be, for Formosan and Asian, we believe, up to 200 to 300 feet sometimes. So you can have a single colony feeding on 2 to 3 houses at the same time. So it's a complex system.
It's a complex and an expensive one, it sounds like. The Department of Agriculture says not just controlling, but also repairing the damage left behind in their wake could cost an upwards of $11 billion annually, is the last numbers I've seen at least. So who's paying for this?
Primarily homeowners, because, I mean, as a homeowner, if I have termites in my house, I would have to pay for the control using a pest control company. and then I would have to pay for replacing the damage. So it's unfortunately the cost is mostly on us.
So what do the Asian subterranean termites look like? How big are they?
Well, superficially they look identical to the Formosans. The only difference is going to be, first of all, their geographical distribution down there in South Florida. The winged termites, you know, when a termite is mature, it can produce this winged individual which fly and buzz around during this time of the year, actually. And they're going to find a mate and start a new colony from scratch. They're going to become the new king and queen. So the Asian serpent termite tend to be brown in color with wings, with hair, while Formosans tend to be kind of orange color. So the color and the size of it is a bit different. On the west coast of Florida, we probably have Formosans now as this exotic, problematic termite. But a couple of years ago, we found a winged termite from Asian subs in Naples. So while it's currently just a problem for the lower Keys and southeast Florida, it is possible that the Asian also may establish over time from the Naples area and upward north over the years.
Oh, don't tell me that. I'm from Naples. So what should I do? How about that? At home, and I see one, what should someone do if they see one of these termites?
Well, first of all, reporting the site of this termite is critical, because if we know where they are, we can basically focus our effort into preventing damage in the first place. If you have termites and you have access to them, and for example, if they swarm and flew in your house, if you can collect them, putting into a small vial with alcohol or maybe an envelope, and then you can just ship it to a lab at the U.S. termite ID team. We can identify it and tell you where it is and what you can do from there, basically, which allow us to update our distribution map so people can have a better idea if a termite this problematic is actually established in their neighborhood or not. If it's not in your neighborhood, then you don't really have to worry about it. If it is established and known to be a problem in your neighborhood, then you may want to be proactive and either do a preventive treatment or do regular monitoring and inspections to the house and trees.
But not all termites are classified as pests, though, right? Does that mean if I call a pest control service for an infestation in my home, they need to verify what species is there first?
Absolutely. Especially that in Florida, so we have 21 species of termites actually in Florida, which is the most of all the other states in the lower 48. But what is important is having a good identification of termite is critical. The reason is we also have the West Indian drywood termite, Cryptotermes brevis, which is pretty much throughout the state. And what they do is they do small colonies above ground in structures. They're not connected to the ground like subterranean termites would be. So the primary way to control drywood termite is structural fumigation. You know, you put a tent on the house and you inject the gas and you kill everything in your house and you remove a tent and then you start from scratch and you don't have to worry about drywood termite for 10 years down the road. So this is pretty much a problem where the solution is relatively simple and quick. Unfortunately for subterranean termite, if you misidentify and you treat it like it would be a drywood termite and you use fumigation, you only kill just a few termites that were in a house at the time of the fumigation, but as soon as you remove a tent, the termites, which is, let's say, 90% of a colony, were still in the ground or in the environment around it, move back into the house on day one. So this is why it's critical if you have termite infestation in the house, first know which termite it is so you can do the right treatment on these.
Well, that's all the time we've got for today's show. I want to thank my guest, UF IFAS Assistant Professor of Urban Entomology, Dr. Thomas Chavanc. Dr. Chavanc, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Iacovone. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.